Private control of land use. The most common private controls of land use are deed covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CC&Rs, and property owner association, POA, regulations. The style and appearance requirements of improvements are set by covenants, garages facing the rear of the property, etc. CC&Rs are found in a recorded document called a Declaration of Restrictions and are imposed by the grantor, who is usually the developer of the subdivision. Violation can result in a civil court action brought by other property owners bound by the same deed restrictions. The court will issue an injunction to enforce the restrictions. For example, an individual sells a parcel of land to another. The deed from the seller to the buyer provides that the buyer will not use the property for commercial use. A residential subdivision developer subdivides a property into lots. The developer then files a declaration of restrictions, which contains the covenants, conditions, and restrictions that apply to the lots in the subdivision violation, can result in a civil court action brought by other property owners in the subdivision or the property owners association. The court may then issue an injunction to enforce the restrictions. Common restrictions placed on a property include that the property be used only for residential development, architectural style requirements, minimum square footage requirements, and landscaping regulations. A property owners association, POA, created by the developer, generally enforces the restrictions. In some cases, both deed restrictions and zoning can exist. If this is true, whichever is the most restrictive or limiting must be obeyed. Deed restrictions are contractual obligations that are usually permanent and, therefore, in most cases, do not expire. Appurtenances. An appurtenance is a right or privilege or improvement that belongs to and passes with land, but is not necessarily a part of the land. Examples are easements and leases that are binding on a new owner. When the property is sold, fixtures and improvements are also appurtenances. Examples of appurtenances include easements, leases that are binding on a new owner when the property is sold, fixtures, buildings, and other improvements. Encroachments. The intrusion of one's property onto another's property creates an encroachment. A neighbor's fence that crosses a boundary or tree, limbs extending over a boundary, are examples of encroachments. Encroachments must always be disclosed. A survey is required to determine if an encroachment exists. Water rights. All of the water within the state is considered the property of the people of the state, but people do not actually own the water. However, they may have the right to use it for beneficial purposes like swimming and fishing, or domestic purposes like cooking, sanitation, and consumption. While the state does not own the surface water or groundwater, it does have the right to regulate its use under the public trust doctrine. As the trustee of water resources, the state may issue permits and licenses for the use of reasonable amounts of water. In Texas, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, is responsible for administering and enforcing water rights law. The TCEQ issues permits containing specific conditions to individuals like farmers and ranchers, and entities like water districts and utility companies. The right to use water is a valuable asset called a usufructuary right, which is a right to use and enjoy a resource, not to own it. Water is a precious resource in a state prone to drought. As such, the state must ensure that people do not waste or contaminate it. Those wasting water or taking it without the right to do so could be ordered to stop taking water and could incur daily fines. Did you know? What is the difference between surface water and groundwater? Surface water flows over the land, including lakes, streams, rivers, creeks, wetlands, and the ocean, and is maintained by precipitation like rainfall. Much of the fresh water used by the public in this country comes from surface water, such as water for drinking, potable water. The rest of the fresh water is supplied by groundwater. Groundwater is percolating water in underground basins. When it rains or snows, water seeps into the ground, permeating spaces between rock, sand, and soil underground, where it can accumulate for hundreds or even thousands of years. It can also discharge, come to the surface, naturally, filling springs, ponds, lakes, and rivers. Like surface water, precipitation replenishes the supply of groundwater. Groundwater can also be extracted for use by pumping it out of the ground. Types of water rights. Riparian rights give an owner the right to use the surface water from flowing water, such as a river, a stream, a lake, or a creek that is on or adjacent to the property. The riparian landowner may access and navigate the body of water in question. They may even build a pier out to the water. However, the riparian landowner may not interrupt the water flow or divert the water to store for future use. Riparian rights are part and parcel, meaning that when title to the land transfers from one owner to another, the rights pass to the new owner of the land. Riparian rights are appurtenant, meaning that they run with the land. These rights are not lost by non-use. They merely become dormant until the riparian landowner exercises them again. However, riparian rights can be severed. For example, if a large parcel of land near a river is divided into smaller parcels, the owner of the parcel touching the river has the riparian right to use it. The grantor may also reserve them in a deed. Littoral rights give landowners the right to use water from a lake, ocean, or sea on or next to their property. A littoral owner has a right to the foreshore, the area of land running along the edge of the water adjacent to their property. While riparian rights grant the right to use the surface of a naturally flowing body of water, littoral rights concern the use of the shore, waterfront. Littoral owners may build a pier into the public water and may navigate the waters. The littoral owner also has a right to accretion, the process of adding to the land by the action of water, resulting in alluvion, which is the soil added to the land by accretion. Overlying rights are the rights of a landowner whose land sits on top of a groundwater basin. The landowner is called an overlying user. The overlying user may pump a reasonable amount of percolating groundwater for beneficial use, as long as it does not interfere with the other overlying users, who also have a right to the supply. Overlying users and riparian landowners who share the supply have correlative rights to the water. Overlying users and riparian landowners have similar rights to the water, with overlying users having rights to the water underneath their land, and riparian landowners having rights to the water touching their land. Texas also recognizes appropriative water rights. Those who do not own the land adjacent to riparian land or overlying water but divert it for use are appropriators. The state grants appropriators permits or licenses to take any surplus water not needed by riparian landowners or overlying users for beneficial and reasonable use. They may take this water as long as it does not overdraft the basin. The appropriator need not be a landowner and may use the water for private or public use. However, the riparian landowners and overlying users have priority over appropriators. Appropriative rights are considered junior to riparian rights. Prior appropriation is a theory of water law based on the idea that first in time is first in right. Unlike riparian rights, which cannot be lost by non-use, appropriative rights may be forfeited by non-use. Prescriptive water rights can be acquired when someone claims a right to water adverse to another's existing water rights, riparian or appropriative, without their permission. The use must be open, notorious, and continuous for 5 years to acquire prescriptive water rights. The use must also benefit the adverse user, and in reasonable amounts, prescriptive water rights may be lost after 5 years of non-use. Though the state regulates surface water, it does not have a comprehensive body of law governing groundwater usage. Often, the counties and local agencies intervene to regulate its extraction. Today, water rights have become increasingly important. The increasing demand for water, not to mention droughts and fires, takes its toll on the state's water supply. As the trustee of Texas's Water for the People, the state must ensure that there is enough clean and safe water for future generations of Californians to enjoy. For more information about water rights in this state, visit the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality's website. Improvements. Any permanent man-made addition to the land is considered to become part of the land is known as an improvement. Buildings, landscaping, fences, patios, decks, roads, curbs are all examples of improvements. When the land is sold or otherwise transferred to a new owner, improvements, unless expressly excluded, are included in the sale. When a deed is prepared, it is understood that the improvements do not have to be listed to be transferred to the new owner. Information resources. Texas A&M's School of Law website is an excellent resource for finding out more about eminent domain in Texas. The site provides links to the state's significant statutory provisions relating to eminent domain. For further research, visit Texas Constitution and Statutes and type in eminent domain and condemnation. The TCEQ strives to protect the state's public health and natural resources while staying consistent with sustainable economic development. Users can search data and records, look up forms, maps, publications, or public notices, view webcasts, and access many other useful resources. On the Railroad Commission of Texas website, users can look up information on oil and gas announcements, applications, complaints, compliance, district offices, environmental cleanup programs, events, workshops, seminars, publications, and research information on mineral rights, gas services, pipeline safety, and mining and exploration are also available. On the Environmental Protection Agency's website, users can find information on the most popular hot topics, including air, chemicals and toxins, greener living, health, land, waste, and cleanup, science, and water users can also find topics of interest in the searchable A to Z index. Cleaning up brownfields across the country is an ongoing process. To find out more about brownfield cleanups in Texas, visit www.epa.gov/tx/cleanups-texas. Texas Parks and Wildlife's website is a treasure trove of information regarding the ecologically diverse Texas wetlands. Learn more about what determines a wetland, the functions and value that wetlands offer, and conservation methods and regulations in place to protect our state's wetlands.